Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Two things appear to be happening simultaneously. The first thing is, well, in the last month or two, the national leadership of the Democratic Party has been doubling down, in fact, more than doubling down. They've been pushing all the way to the edge, to the logical conclusion of their abortion philosophy, openly in the case of Democratic candidates running for president in 2020, openly embracing the idea that abortion ought to be, as Roe left it in 1973, without restriction, without excuse, without any kind of regulation, without any kind of limitation, all the way and up to natural birth. No reason whatsoever. The rights of the child there in the womb, even moments before birth, do not apply. That's the national leadership. At the same time, something else is happening, and that is Democratic voters across the nation, perhaps in part in reaction to that pushing of the envelope, to that doubling down of their national leadership, are backing off of their support for abortion. Very interesting situation. Joining us to talk about how national Democratic leaders are increasingly out of step with Democratic voters on abortion, Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of a national pro-life organization called the Susan B. Anthony List and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled State-Level Democrats Revolt Against National Leaders' Abortion Extremism. Marjorie, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. It's good to be with you again.
Given their unqualified support for Roe, we've always known that national-level Democratic leaders believe in abortion on demand all 9 months, no restrictions up to birth, period. Why are they so outspoken about it lately, though?
I think their hand has been forced. I mean, what they see is the tsunami of Roe versus Wade being overturned and all of the potential legislation that will come at that point. So they're trying to race ahead of it to try to preclude some of that debate. So that's why in New York and in Rhode Island, Illinois, Virginia, there has been a rush to basically put Roe versus Wade into the law. Well, it's a little bit more than extreme than what Roe versus Wade, how it's been interpreted, but that is what the rush is. So in that process, they've really revealed what has been almost impossible to communicate effectively to the country about what Roe versus Wade is. And it is a regime of abortion on demand up until birth.
So if you would, what are the national leaders saying, and how does that contrast with Democratic voters on the ground in the states?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of incredible to watch. I think we'll look back at this time and say this is the moment that there was a wedge driven in the middle of the Democratic Party where people on the ground who are disagreeing with the national leaders helped cause a shift in the Democratic Party. So what they're saying on the national level is what all of the Senate Democrats who are running for president are saying, which is, we're for the New York law. We're for putting Roe versus Wade, and frankly, even worse, into the law. They are against any limits, even when it comes to a baby being born by accident during an abortion. They're not for anything. They're frankly embracing infanticide. And so that has caused an incredible reaction on the ground across America in terms of real grassroots Democrats and independents who don't think like that at all.
What do the grassroots Democrats, what do they generally believe about abortion?
Well, on this particular issue, on this late term and the Born Alive Protection Act, 70% of Democrats agree with the pro-life position, which is basically don't kill them when they're born, which is not a tough position to take. And 77% of independents agree with that position. When it comes to the overall pro-life position, they're shifting because they're actually focusing a little bit more. The poll at the beginning of the year shifted from 25 to 35% of Democrats labeling themselves pro-life. So now we've had a lot of polls over the years that really show that we think that they're around 30%. But what we do see in the same poll taken twice within a month, with New York in the middle of it, it shifted opinion 10 points in favor of the pro-life position.
How do you account for the fact that all of the Democratic presidential candidates have decided to jump on this bandwagon, especially given the fact they know they're going to have to track back towards something less radical after the primaries and going into the general election? At least one of them is going to have to.
Yeah, one would hope. But I think what we're seeing is the effect of the vice-like grip that the Democratic Party has had on its nominees, especially at the highest levels, on the federal level, certainly presidential, but also Senate and on down. That has been, look, in pure political terms, while they have done an incredible job of keeping their sheep within the stable for all this long, they, however, I believe, are facing what you just described, which is just a response from their base, not their base, from rank-and-file Democrats that is completely out of step with that sliver of their base. It's kind of the reverse of what happened in 2012 for Republican candidates when the other side labeled them the rape and incest abortion opponents and kind of brought out the negatives, what they perceived as our extreme position and made that our position. This is a flip side of that. We're showing the natural extension of their views, and it is to embrace late-term abortion and even infanticide, and we're getting the reaction that they will have to adapt or fail.
You write in your piece about the Democratic state senators in Ohio and what they've been doing. You say they've got the right idea. What have they been up to?
Well, it's beautiful to see. I mean, I think we're going to see more of it. In Ohio, all Democratic state senators approved a bipartisan resolution to urge the U.S. Congress to adopt Senator Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. So that was basically saying if a baby is born alive, you have to give it the care that you would give any other person, any other human, including a baby. So all Democratic senators said that they wanted the U.S. House to pass that. So what does that say? There's a split between the federal office holders and the state office holders is enormous on this. And, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? If you want to promote life and you really want to have ambitious pro-life laws in the future, you exploit that difference. You show everyone what the Democratic Party, especially on the national level, is standing for, and you run against them on that position. That is what the president is doing. That's what senators are doing. And I believe we'll see that all over the map.
In North Carolina, the General Assembly there actually passed a version of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, didn't they?
They did. And both houses, they sent it to the governor. The governor vetoed it. I mean, it's just one more playing out of this scenario. They have the votes in both houses to override that veto. We expect that to occur relatively soon. They're just kind of waiting for the most dramatic number of votes, meaning they just want to make sure that they get to the majority, the maximum number of votes that they can get before they call the vote. But it's going to be a dramatic moment once again. You know, a governor perceived, emphasis on the perceived, as a moderate governor vetoing a wildly popular provision and then overridden by a bipartisan consensus in both houses of state legislature. They're going to have to learn something from this. It's either going to be verbal jujitsu, which they probably will try first when they're trying it now, or an actual shift in position. But that's going to take a mammoth lift on the part of the Democratic apparatus. This position is written into their platform, and it's much, much harder to change that platform position at a Democratic convention than it is in your personal race for public office somewhere.
Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, is our guest. We're talking about how national Democratic leaders are out of step with Democratic voters on abortion state by state. When we come back, the Cherish Act in Arkansas.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
If you appreciate Issues, Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues, Etc., and Lutheran Public Radio. We're discussing how national Democratic leaders are out of step with Democratic voters on abortion. With Marjorie Dannenfelser, I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues, Etc. We're proud to announce that Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire has been added to the speaking lineup for the one and only 2019 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Walsh will be joined by Ross Douthat of the New York Times, LCMS President Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith of National Review, Reverend Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire, LCMS Worship Director Will Whedon, and Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago. You can learn more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 7th and 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Marjorie, you were speaking before the break about some of the states where state legislatures, Democrats, are actually joining Republicans in order to pass pro-life legislation. What was the Cherish Act passed in Arkansas?
Yeah, that was beautiful as well. The Cherish Act limits abortion, or makes sure that abortion doesn't occur after 18 weeks. And three Democrats joined Republicans to make sure that happened. Now, that was a little bit more, you know, even 18 weeks sounds so modest, and of course we should, but that is reaching further and more ambitiously, of course, than by definition at birth or infanticide. But it shows the direction in which certainly Republicans are leading, but also Democrats are seeing as important to figure out what the heck they do think. If you don't think that infanticide's okay, and you don't think that it's okay to have an abortion during labor, when do you think it's not okay? When is it okay and when is it not okay? So I think what we're seeing is such a all-over-the-map decision-making in terms of Democrats' position on life. What we hope is that it's going to become what it used to be, and that is a conscience question. When I was working in the House of Representatives a million years ago, it was a conscience question for Democrats. In fact, at that time, the appropriations chairs were all Democrats, and all but one of them was pro-life. So clearly there's a difference then between the speaker and the appropriations chair. So they basically let them vote how their conscience told them to vote. That is at least a middle ground position that the Democratic Party ought to go for. And frankly, they'll lose fewer elections.
All these states, we haven't even mentioned Florida, West Virginia, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Louisiana. They all have various measures and various incremental steps, wherein state representative Democrats are joining with Republicans in order to curtail to one degree or another abortion on demand. Does all of that add up to something, if only sending a message to the national leadership of the Democratic Party?
Well, it does add up to something, and it does mean it's a message that's being sent. But I think concretely, and where we're headed, is that it's going to have to force a change in position if they don't want to lose at the polls. Because we in the pro-life movement have our act together now. We know how to defeat, with a strong political arm, people who take extreme positions like that. They will feel the sting of that. And on the federal level, when if you're running for president and that's your position, you're seeing that backlash all over the country. You know, maybe they're going to go ahead and lose this presidential election because of it, but they won't want to keep losing. It might take a little while. Politics in general is by nature relatively conservative, slow to change. But to avoid losses in the future, a shift in policy would lead to laws that are a little bit more sane and the saving of lives. That's really what this is all about, and it's the only reason that it matters.
Way back in 2002, a precursor to Sasse's bill, the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, passed the U.S. House by voice vote and by unanimous consent in the U.S. Senate. What has changed in the last 17 years?
I know. Doesn't it just make you shake your head? What has changed is that grip that the National Democratic Party, when Obama became president, leaving Clinton behind, who at least had a sort of a nod at safe, legal, and rare, some nod that there might be something questionable or difficult or maybe wrong about abortion. Obama completely rejected that premise. He moved abortion at the center of health care. He became the primary defender of Planned Parenthood and abortion at every stage. Even when he was in the legislature, he voted against that Born Alive provision in Illinois. So he became the head of the party at that point. And along with that came, again, that vice-like grip on what candidates could and could not do if you were going to run as a Democrat. Their discipline was firm and swift. They meant it, and the elected officials felt it. And so it put a chill on anyone who might want to exert their conscience that was a Democrat on the abortion issue. We're feeling now the effects of that, and also the fact that now the pro-life movement acts more, frankly, like the NRA or unions in terms of its political discipline and its ability to elect and unelect and persuade.
Finally, some have observed in the last 2 months or so, to put it bluntly, that infanticide is becoming, at least at the national level, Democratic Party orthodoxy. Do you think it has? Do you think that this is just a momentary flirtation with it? Or what do you think the future of that idea in the national level Democratic Party is?
I think it is the orthodoxy. It's the natural extension of the value system that they have. I mean, it's only the difference between up until birth and a few minutes after birth, meaning late-term abortion has always been embraced by the National Democratic Party. Now it's also embracing just a few minutes after. So that's a very slight shift. So, yeah, that is the orthodoxy now. If you're a Democratic candidate running pretty much at any level, you see as your role model all those Democratic senators that are running for president right now. So that's what it is. But I predict that it'll be short-lived.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is president of a national pro-life organization called the Susan B. Anthony List. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled State-Level Democrats Revolt Against National Leaders' Abortion Extremism. You can read it and find out more about the Susan B. Anthony List at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Marjorie, thank you.
Thank you. It's great being with you again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on Lutheran catechesis, talking with Pastor Peter Bender about the first article of the Creed and man's fall into sin. And we'll look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in John chapter 10. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.